another week of in-person service. Still have a lot of COVID activity in our area and in our church, a lot of people infected, and so we just thought it would be wise to have another week of online services. And so welcome, and our worship team's here this morning, and so we want to come in and just engage the Lord in worship. So just join with us. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Father, we're so thankful to be able to gather together, even if it's only, you know, 10 of us here today, and doing online services. We're still able to gather together and worship you, and just let our hearts collide, let our faith collide, our hopes, our dreams, everything that we have in you, as we come in and it collides with the faith of others, and so we celebrate that today. And I pray your blessings on everyone that's at home watching this, or listening to a podcast in their car, or today or 5 years from now. And I just pray blessings on them. And I pray that Holy Spirit, you would just stir and move in their life. Comfort those that need comfort today. Minister to their needs. Let them feel your present help, Father. And we just ask all these things in Jesus' name. We pray that this worship would be a sweet incense to you, and that it would just ascend to your throne room, and it would touch you everywhere. But we pray that it would just be pleasing in your sight. And it's in Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. Let's keep playing that. He is absolutely everything that we need. He is absolutely everything that our country needs. He is absolutely everything that the world needs. I got a text this week, and it triggered a process with the Lord. I spent the week up in Blue Ridge, Georgia, at making a bamboo fly rod, something I'd wanted to do for several years, and I got on the waiting list about a year and a half ago, signed up for a class. It's about a year and a half wait, and so I went up last Sunday after church, and the class started Monday morning, and I put in the time and spent about 50 hours building this. But toward the end of the week, I was texting Sandy Hardy. She's my office manager at KST, and we were texting back and forth about work. And she asked me how the rod building class was going, and I said, man, it's going good, it's legit, you know, it's exceeded my expectations and all that. And she said, well, you know, congratulations, that's awesome. And she said, you deserve it. She said, you deserve it. And while there are some levels to truth to that, I understood her sentiment and what she was meaning by that. You know, I've been in the metal fabricating business full time for 38 years, so I put my time in. But I got thinking about that phrase, that statement, you deserve it. And I thought about my life and the blessings of my life and the goodness of God and the amazing pursuit of God toward me. And I'm like, man, I really don't deserve it. I not just for myself. I don't deserve it just for myself, that I can feather my bed with all of this stuff, with the blessings of life and the bounty of life and all of that. And as I meditated on that, The Lord carried me to the scripture talking about Solomon, and there's about eight chapters that deal with and talk about the reign of Solomon. And it says that Solomon was highly favored because the Lord loved Israel. It says he was highly favored because the Lord loved Israel. And so all of a sudden it stopped being about, I deserve this and I've earned this, and it's about, you know, yes, thankful heart, but it's about all the blessings in my life. And a lot of times we get caught up in our life and our world. And if we're not careful, it can become real small. And it becomes something that just encapsulates our, what we view our immediate world, our immediate life. And the Lord began to speak to me as he was carrying me down this, I don't want to say rabbit hole, but he was carrying me through this thought process. And he said, Solomon was highly favored because God loved the people so much. And Nick, the Lord began to speak to me and said, the reason that your life is highly favored, and the reason that your life is blessed, and the reason that the God of the universe, no one but him, pursues you and enters into to intercourse through doing life together, the reason he does that is, yes, he loves you, but the reason he does that is because he loves the people around you. Tyler, we're so blessed with our, forget our financial blessings. It's just talking about our knowledge of him. And when I say knowledge of him, I don't mean head knowledge, but our experiential walk with him and our knowledge of him, of who he is and his goodness and the way our history with God and all of that. And the reason that we have that is because God loves the people around us. God loves Mayberry. He loves West Georgia. And it doesn't matter if you're red or you're blue. He has this amazing, amazing love for you. There's one portion in this scripture, and the Queen of Sheba has come to see Solomon. And she's blown away by everything. She's blown away by him. She's blown away by his wisdom. Solomon was the quintessential Renaissance man. I mean, this guy was a master builder. He was a botanist. He wrote books. He wrote volumes on botany. He wrote volumes on zoology. He wrote songs. He wrote over 1,000 proverbs, books of proverbs. We don't have all of them in our Bible, but the word says he wrote over 1,000 of these things. And so he was just the consummate Renaissance man, that he was excellent and outstanding in everything. And when he asked for wisdom, it didn't say God came in and gave him wisdom. It said he enlarged his heart. And all of Solomon's wisdom flowed from his heart. But the Queen of Sheba comes in and she's visiting with Solomon and in awe of everything. And she makes a statement. She said, God loves Israel so much, he gave them you. God loves Israel so much, he gave them you. And yes, she was flattering Solomon. She was legitimately blown away by him. And we look at God's hand in our life and the greatness of God's hand in our life, not the greatness in ourselves. Solomon was not a Renaissance man until God breathed in him. That's how he became the man he became. And we look at God's hand in our life and we look at his moving in our life and all of these things that he's done amazing in our life. And it's like, I love West Georgia so much, James, that I'm giving them you. For God so loved the world that he gave his son. I love Carrollton High School, all the students in Carrollton. so much that I'm giving them you, Nick. I'm giving them you. Monday morning, I had two things that happened to me just right out the gate. And we get there in this bamboo fly rod class that I'm taking. There's eight guys in there. And we're out. The bamboo is so dense that you can't stain it. You have to get the color you want with a blowtorch. I mean, literally, we're out there with this big propane blowtorch, and I'm, you know, out on the sidewalk in Blue Ridge, Georgia, around back, you know, sitting here, and I'm blowtorching this thing and getting my fly rod the color I want it to eventually become. And some of the other guys, and, you know, they only had two blowtorches, and you don't want more than two blowtorches going at a time anyway. Eight guys will really set something on fire, you know, burn down the whole town. And so I do mine, and I begin to talk to one of the other guys in the class from Texas. And he was a kingdom man. He'd been a pastor for 20 years. And we were talking about family and all of this stuff. And he said, yeah, my daughter and son-in-law, they've been over in the refugee camps of Syria for like 3 years ministering to the, you know, real deal mission stuff. You know, and he was talking about how they spoke Arabic and all these different languages and everything. And I'm like, man, that is awesome. And we're talking about that. And I was like, you know, my nephew's over in the Middle East with IHOP. He's like, with IHOP? I said, yeah. He said, man, me and Mike Bickle are good friends. He said, I was on staff with Mike Bickle before IHOP even got started. He said, back in the day, he said, I kind of watched God blow everything up and all. And so, you know, we talked, you know, some Mike Bickle stories. Not that I know Mike, but, you know, I've heard interviews with him. So we were talking about that and all. And it seemed like it, I'm going somewhere with this, I promise. It seemed like it really encouraged that guy that had left pastoring for 20 years and he started building condos. That's how he got successful financially. Was he built condos for 8 years with a guy he went to seminary with. And I said, well, it's obviously good to you and all that, because he'd traveled all over the world and different things and everything. He says, yeah, man, it was good and all. And so, you know, I told him, I said, I don't believe there's any difference. There's not secular and spiritual. I said, it's all spiritual. And we begin to talk about our experience in the business world, James, and what we do. You know, we're ministers, but we feel just as significant in the business world, you and I do. And it seemed like it really encouraged him that he could be around another kingdom man that did this and did this in the world, and that God's favor and God's blessing was on him. So by the time all that's over, it's lunch break. And some of the guys went to some sandwich shop up the street. And I'm like, man, I want a cheeseburger. So I walked across the street and to get a cheeseburger at this Bitentown Tavern. It's on the corner in Blue Ridge. And I walk in and all the tables are full. They've got them spaced for coronavirus and all the tables are full and all that. And I said, man, that's all right. I'll just sit up at the bar. There's some open spots. TV was going to ESPN. You know, I'm down with watching Arkansas women's volleyball. And, you know, so I'm sitting there eating cheeseburger, minding my own business and everything. And this guy comes up, and he looks a little bit disheveled. He comes up and he sits down next to me, you know, and I'm like, really, man, you're gonna sit right next to me. And, you know, I was like, hey, how's it going? You know, and I keep doing my thing. And after a couple minutes, he introduces himself. You know, hi, I'm Bob Smith, you know, and I took that as a cue, you know, all right, set my phone down, this guy's wanting to talk. Not what I had in mind for lunch. But we began to talk, and he had been a missionary in Peru for 20 years. And he still owned a house in Peru. But he had to come back 3 years ago because his wife had ALS. And so they had to come off the mission field, and she had died a year or two before that. And he had to tell me about their whole journey with all of that and about how God was gracious and merciful and so good to them during their whole, you know, three-year process with ALS. And the guy just needed somebody to talk to. So we talked kingdom for a half hour, and I let him share his story and all of that stuff. And God said, I just need you to be you wherever you're at. Not preacher Sid, not businessman Sid, just child of no one but you. It's not about, I'm getting to take build my fly rod class because God loves me. I kid Chris Bridges, me and him kid each other, you know, well, I'm God's favorite. No, I'm God's favorite and all of that stuff. The reality is we're all his favorite. But the thing is I am blessed the way that I'm blessed with my history with him, my walk with him, my knowledge of him, all the other blessings, that, you know, an American, you know, and blessed financially, all of these things. But all of these things are happening in my life because God loves the people around me. The spotlight isn't on me. It got panned out. And yeah, I'm in the middle of my world, but this spotlight is like the lights in this room. We don't have a spotlight on each individual up here. But the lights are panned out over the whole room. And the reason that I am who I am and I am what I am is because God loves the people around me. And God loves the people around you. And that guy sitting at that bar in Blue Ridge, Georgia for lunch, I want to clarify that. I'm, you know, not up there hanging out in the bar and everything, but sitting there eating a cheeseburger, watching ESPN, that guy needed somebody that was the representation of Christ to talk to. The other guy needed encouragement, maybe. Maybe come in and says, man, you didn't miss God by building condos for 8 years and not pastoring a church. Because he'd pastored for a long time. Still a kingdom man. Maybe he needed an affirmation from the Father. Says, man, that's what I do. And God's great with it. God orchestrates it. And the world just needs us to be bigger than ourselves. It needs us to come in and realize that I'm highly favored because God loves the world around me. You walk up and down the halls and next week at school, Nick. And when you start looking at it from that perspective, it's not like, well, man, I'm Nick White and I'm doing my thing. I got my head down, I'm just doing my thing and all of that stuff. It's like God allows me to walk through these halls right now because he loves every one of these kids. And it doesn't matter if they're a doctor's kid or if they're in the projects. He loves them all the same. Doesn't matter if their mom and daddy voted red or blue. He tremendously loves them. And they just need you to be you. Queen of Sheba was like, Solomon, you're awesome. God sure does love Israel. That's what I want to tell everybody that's listening today. There are two sides of this. See, you're awesome. God sure does love the people around you. And then I can turn and I can look on the stage and there's five people up here with me. And every one of you, I can look and I can say, Tyler, you're awesome. I'm so glad I'm connected in life with you. God sure does love me. He sure does love me. So the word that he has for me to release, I feel, and we're going to go back into a little bit more worship in this, but the word that he has for me to release today to the body, and to whoever's listening to this podcast or watching on live stream, whatever medium you're viewing it, is that you're highly favored because God loves the people around you. He loves the people around you. And all of a sudden, everything stops just being about me. But yet it starts being about me in the sense that I walked through this journey of life, and these people around me, they need me to be the light of Jesus. They need me to be the love of Jesus. And sometimes it looks like encouragement. Sometimes it looks like sitting there and listening, just a listening ear. I did more ministering to that guy Monday at lunch by listening than I did anything that came out of my mouth. He just needed to express himself. He needed to share his story. And in that, talk about God's goodness. In his last 3 years with his wife, as she had ALS. God's like, just be you. Just be you. Because this, don't take this wrong. This sounds wrong, but I know my heart in this. You're God's gift. You know, we kids say, oh, he thinks he's God's gift to humanity. You are God's gift to humanity. The kingdom man, James Siegel. The Queen of Sheba said, God sure does love Israel because he gave them you. He sure does love Cami because he gave her you. He sure does love Noah because he gave him a daddy like you. He sure does love James Siegel because he gave him a son like Noah. That's what our world needs right now. It's what our nation needs right now. You know, we look and we talk about needing healing in our nation, and we do need healing in our nation. You know how that healing comes? By us realizing God sure does love all these people around me, so let me see what I can do to express his love. By being me. Not being what media tells me I'm supposed to be or what side I'm on tells me I'm supposed to be. But me being what he says in Isaiah 61. Arise and shine and let your light go forth. Because God loves, passionately loves the people around you. Loves the people around you. And if you're here today and you don't feel like I'm anything to offer the people or anything to offer the world around me, maybe you're on the receiving part of that, or you need to be the receiving part of that right now. God loves you so much, he lets you hear this word this morning. God loves you so much, he lets you hear these songs that we're singing this morning. God loves you so much that he put anything that is good and lovely and just and righteous that you can see in your life, that you can even visually see in your life, God loves you so much, he put that in your life. So receive that today. Receive it as you're listening to this. And then you turn and you be his gift to those around you. That's my heart this morning. I don't know about you guys, but I've been getting blown up with political text. I don't know if I'm an anomaly on that or if everybody's getting that, but my phone get like two or three a week. You know, I said, well, it'll stop after the election. Now everybody's ramping up for the Senate things, and I'm already getting them for the Senate stuff in January. And maybe the guy that had the phone number before me was active in the Democratic Party, but every text I get is from the other side of the aisle than my side. And God has said, don't be combative with anybody. I let them know how I'm voting. But then I come in, man, and I just try to release love and unity and hope and peace, and really try to come across so that there's more that unites us than there is that divides us. But man, I'm sure you love your country. You wouldn't be active in politics. We have a different political viewpoint, but we all love our country. You know, and these people, instead of being angry with me, they're sending me back nice texts. Send me back smiley faces and American flags and stuff like that. Now, we don't have to hate each other. We don't have to look at our differences and say, man, these people around me, they've disappointed me and they let me down and this and this and this and this. We just have to look at it and say, I'm highly favored because God loves the people around me. And they're highly favored because He loves me. Let's release that. Let's be that. So my whole point in all of this is the world needs you to be you. The two guys in Blue Ridge this week needed me to be me. There are people this afternoon, I guarantee there are people next week, Nick, you sharing an experience you had yesterday afternoon in praying with another wrestling coach. He needed you to be you. That was God loved him so much that he sent Nick to Life College to wrestle me. Might not even supposed to, but you might not even been there to watch wrestling. So let's roll back into some worship. Can we sing this one again? Let's just roll back in that. We've had a long enough break now. We won't be redundant. Let's roll back into this. Let's just declare to Him that you're enough. You're enough. God was no less when Nero was king than He was when Constantine was king in the early Roman Empire. He was no less. One didn't exalt Him and the other one push Him down. Their attack and embrace of the church was totally different, but it did not affect the great I Am. So let's just exalt Him. Let's just love on Him this morning. Go ahead, guys.
Hey, guys, I'll be brief this morning. I really just kind of want to tag team and piggyback on what Pastor Sid brought this morning. You are God's gift to those around you, and not just those that are around you every day, right? I think that's the expansive part there is yes, God put me at Carrollton High School and put you guys at KST and at Bremen and at college and all these other different things that we're doing in life. But we're also God's gift to those people that we come and have encounters with. Because as we were talking beforehand, there are 70 million people that disagreed with one another on election day. 70 million people. And if we are supposed to be unified, that gives us that perception of divisiveness. And if we are going to become one and unified, if we're going to share these things that are love in people's life, and we have to have our eyes open to the opportunities. Because the way that we are going to become unified is not by a red and a blue candidate becoming pink, right? And somebody that is all things to all people necessarily. We're going to become unified by me having an encounter with somebody else, right, that may be different than me, and me still being able to love and hold and cherish and be love to them that day when they don't have love, and be, you know, strength to them on days that they don't have strength. And if our eyes are closed to these opportunities when we run into these people eating a cheeseburger, then we're not ever going to be able to accomplish the things that Christ has asked us to do, because we're supposed to go forth and make disciples. And sometimes disciples get down. Sometimes disciples need a pat on the back. Sometimes disciples need to be introduced to the one that they're going to follow because they're not disciples yet. And if we go through life and we just worry about these people that we are in contact with on a daily basis, we're going to miss the ones that are going to walk right by us. Our head will be down and that opportunity will never be reached. You also have to have your eyes open to the opportunity of, man, I need to be the guy that goes and sits by you while you're watching volleyball and just talk to you. I don't know why. Because there's times that your life, it's not just about you. This is a double-edged sword. It's a two-way street. You know, it's not just you being a blessing to someone else, but there's other people that are going to enter your life and be blessings to you as well. And we don't need to miss those opportunities either. So I don't have any more than that, other than right now, I feel like our job as Christians is to have our eyes open to bring that unity and love to help bring us together Not that we're that as far apart as what the media says that we are, right? I think we're a lot closer, but it's our job to unify that and keep your eyes open for these opportunities like he's talking about. It happens all throughout the Bible. All these meetings are chance meetings, which, you know, you can have that argument whether it's predetermined or not, but they're meetings between people that don't know each other. They're meetings between people who aren't even supposed to be hanging out in the same area. When Jesus goes through Samaria, he's not even supposed to be there. The Jews hate Samaritans and vice versa, but that's just, have your eyes open to those things, because those are the things that change. It really changes the world. It may only change the world for that one person, but it changes their world. It changes your world. So just have your eyes open to those opportunities as we move forward.
Amen. Awesome. Well, I think we're good. I just pray a prayer of blessing over everyone in this room, everyone that's out there listening. God would just lavish his love on you. You'd feel his presence so strong. And it wouldn't be a thing where you just feel like God's having pity on you because I've got all these issues in my life, or I've been told what a dirty sinner I was my whole life and all of that, but realize that God really, really, really loves you. Just like he really loved Israel and when Solomon was king. Solomon even said, man, God loved Israel so much that he gave him David, my father, to rule them. He declared that in his prayer of dedication. And I pray that you would just not only feel, but know the Father's love. And that as you walk in that, feeling that and seeing that and knowing that, that you would begin to release that into the world. Release that into the world. Lord, I pray you would comfort everyone that needs comforting. Those that faced death of loved ones this week, that are dealing with that right now, that are enduring that right now, I pray you would comfort them. Pray for the Barr family in Carrollton. Lord, I pray you just minister to them in such a mighty way. Touch those that are sick right now, Father. We just declare your goodness in healing. We speak that over everyone that's listening to this. That their bodies would be made whole. That sickness could not stay in the presence of your perfect love. Confusion would not be able to stay in the presence of your perfect love. Bitterness and hatred and envy and strivings and all of these things would not be able to stay in the presence of your perfect love. So, Lord, I just pray a river, your river, would be released into all these people's lives, into our lives that are physically here this morning. The river of your love. Let it wash over us. Maybe it start ankle deep, but it continue to get larger and larger and larger till everything in our world is consumed with the river of your perfect love. Lord, just do what only you can do. Because you are the great I am. There is no one like you. We put all our hope, put all our faith, all of our trust in you, Lord. We place it in you. In Jesus' sweet name. In him we ask these things. In him we ask these things. I hope you guys have an amazing rest of the day and an amazing week this week. The world needs you to be you, Tyler. They need Tyler. They may wish it was Stephen Furtick. It'd been cooler if Mike Bickle had been in that class instead of George from Texas. Maybe. Maybe it wouldn't have. So y'all just have an awesome day and awesome week. We love you guys. God bless.